Thank you. I appreciate that. If you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read three verses, and we're going to jump right into it. When Brother Joel started talking about truth endureth to all generations, I thought he was going to get ready to preach my message, as my introductory thoughts are on absolute truths, and some of the things that we see nowadays is people are trying to do away with absolute truths and the principles of God's Word. They're trying to do away with them in our society and just present us with situational ethics. When you're walking this way and you're walking that way, if it feels good, do it. And so when Brother Joe started saying that, I thought, Brother Joe, where are you going with this? But it actually gave me a nice lead in. The other thing that I wanted to comment about is the hymns that Brother Jed chose, A Closer Walk with Thee and Nearer to God. Those are two things that I desire in my heart and in my life. And the essence of this message is on walking in God's paths. As we begin reading in Mark chapter 1, we're going to read the first three verses, and we're going to key in on the last part of verse 3. And that's where we're going to take the message tonight from, beginning in chapter 1. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I'd just like to go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing and his help tonight. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you for the word of God that you've given to us, and I thank you for your grace unto me, and you're teaching me, and I pray that you help me now to deliver these truths and bring them, and I pray that they'll be a blessing and a help to someone here tonight, and I pray that our church will be, that you'll bless it and use it for our good and for your glory. I pray and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. These are the first thing. One of the things is these are His paths. They're God's paths. They're not somebody else's paths. They're His. There's a personal pronoun attached to there. And so we can identify who they belong to. They don't belong to man of any shape or form, but they belong to God. And specifically here, if we look at verse 2, it says, As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. It's talking about Jesus Christ and His coming. He was on his way, and he's talking about John preparing the way before Jesus Christ, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And then John says, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So we can see very clearly that these are the Lord's paths. And if we're going to walk in these paths, then there's some things that need to probably take place. How can two walk together except they be agreed, is what Amos said. So we have to decide early on if we're going to be in agreement with God or if we're not going to be in agreement with God. If He's going to walk these paths, are we going to follow Him as He walks these paths? Or are we going to disagree with God and go our own way and take another path? Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. What a great characteristic, the humility and walking with God. Colossians 2:7 says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Do you remember the time when you got saved? The humility that was there in your heart and in your life, and you were ready to do what God wanted you to do. Colossians chapter 2 says, As ye have received him, so walk ye in him. I really believe that characteristic of humility should be something that stays with us, and by God's grace it can and it will. There's some things about God's paths as I took and I thought about these things, and I went to my Strong's Concordance and I looked up the word paths. And one of the things that the definition is really very simple. It means a rut, a worn track. I don't know if you've ever driven, like recently, I parked in a guy's yard going deer hunting, and my truck left some ruts. You know, it was evident, there was a worn track. And so that's what these paths are, they're a worn track. And so they're really very evident for us to follow. But I took all the verses in the Scripture, and I went through them, and I pondered these paths of God's, and I began to see some things, and I asked God for His help to put these things in an order that was beneficial and would help me to have a better walk with God and following Him along these paths. And there are some things that God showed me. The first thing was He showed me that these paths, there's a longevity to these paths. They've been around for a long time. If they're God's paths and God is eternal, they're pre-existent. They were with Him before creation. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says, "I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega." And these are His paths. He's the owner of these paths. It's the paths that He was preparing, that He was going to walk on. And He did when He came to this earth. So there's a longevity to God's paths. They're pre-existent and they're present today. The Bible speaks to us in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." God is still saying today, seek ye the old paths. And those principles of today, the absolute truth, is still the same. It hasn't changed. God hasn't changed, and His Word hasn't changed. And the principles and the paths have not changed. There's a longevity to God's paths. There's a perpetuity to them. Not only were they pre-existent and they're present today, these paths are going to be in the millennial kingdom. And when people go to the throne of God, to the throne of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, they're going to get instruction on how to walk on these same paths. The same things that God wants us to walk on here and now today. The same thing that Jeremiah pleaded with the people to seek after, to walk in. God would have us to know that these things are true and they will be true even then. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3 and Micah chapter 4 verse 2 are very, very almost the same wording. But I'm just going to read one of them. "And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So in other words, if we were sitting in the millennial reign right now and we went to Jerusalem and we got instruction from God, He's going to tell us how to walk in His paths. He's going to give us that instruction. And so there's a longevity to God's paths, and there's leadership that influences us towards God's paths. Excuse me. There's leadership that influences us towards God's paths. The first thing that I see, if I turn to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 2, and if you want to follow along with me, I've got a lot of scriptures, and we'll try to get through these, but There's a lot of scripture that speaks of the paths of God, and we'll see as we look at these verses, leadership that's given to us. There's two verses here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 2 says, "She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths." And verse 1 tells us this is wisdom crying and putting forth her voice. And Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20, if you go down a little further, it says, "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." So wisdom has an influence of leadership. And wisdom is applied knowledge. The things that we've learned from God's Word, and if we apply them, that's wisdom helping us if we're following God's Word. The next thing is the leadership that helps us is the Lord Himself. He is our shepherd. Psalm chapter 23 and beginning in verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and He leadeth us in paths of righteousness. If He's leading us and we're following, those are the paths that we will walk upon, paths of righteousness. And it's for His name's sake that we do these things. And if we're following Him, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." He'll give us that direction if we're following Him. And if a person is looking to God for direction in accordance with these verses, And God will direct our paths, and it'll be in accordance with His Word, which is the next thing that gives us direction. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's a light in a dark and decaying world. The Word of God is for us and to us. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." God corrects us. His law is a lamp, and it's a light unto us. It gives us what we need to guide us in this dark and dying world. The Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself, walked the paths perfectly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus Christ personified all the attributes of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, separating from sin and walking holy. He personified redemption when He died on the cross for us, but that's one that He fulfilled for us. Redemption is what we wait for. But the other three are things that belong to His paths as he fulfilled them and He personified them. It was for our imputation and for our imitation of Him. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be followers of Me, even as I also am of Christ." The Holy Spirit is also a leader and an influence in our life. The Holy Spirit's role is to lead and to teach us and to guide us. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit leads us, the Holy Spirit guides us, and the Holy Spirit will teach us and bring all things into remembrance for us. In helping us, and I say again, these things that these the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Jesus Christ Himself, helping us, are always going to be in accordance with the Word of God. There's never going to be any deviation from the truth of God's Word. The principles will always remain the same. And if we ponder the path of, as Proverbs 4:26 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." The Holy Spirit always teaches and leads in accordance with God's Word. And if we ponder our path, He'll direct and He'll establish our direction. Psalm 119, verse 35 says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." So there's a longevity to God's path. There's leadership that influences us in the right way. There's learning involved in walking in God's paths. Psalm chapter 25, verse 4 and 5 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me." Desire to learn and walking in God's paths should accompany salvation. We hear pastors say it a lot. There's things that accompany salvation. A desire to learn and walk in God's paths should be one of them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The Word of God should nourish us. It should strengthen us. It should stabilize us and establish us in His ways and help us in our walk. And we should learn and grow in our understanding of God's Word on a regular basis. And it will help us to walk in God's paths. There's a discipline required in learning. Psalm chapter 25, verse 9 and 10 says, "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." The meek will He guide in judgment. A meek person is somebody that has a discipline where they have a in their lives where it's a power under control. You have your spirit and your self-will under control, your flesh is under control, and you've submitted yourself conscientiously to the will of God and to the teaching of the Word of God. So there's a discipline that's required in learning to walk in God's paths. And there's a dependence in walking in God's paths. Psalm chapter 27, verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." David here was dependent upon God teaching him to walk in his paths, and he wanted it to be a plain path because of his enemies. We need God's help in walking in his paths because of the enemy that is about in today's day and age, and he was about then. Satan is a foe that we have that doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take a rest. He's constantly seeking a way and seeking whom he may devour. And when we step off of God's paths, we open ourselves up for him to work his will and to do his work in our lives. And so as we learn from God's word and we walk in God's word, we have God's help through the leadership, through the Son of God, the example that he set, and God protects us. There's a protecting hand of God that will be upon us as we follow God's word and walk in his ways. The next thing is we see as I go through there's some lamentable choices that have been made by some. I want to take a minute here to look at some paths that just go completely contrary to God's paths. And Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, we're going to read through about 10 verses here, and there's about six or seven times where the word path or paths is used. And there's a lot of characteristics that we see in people today where there's things that are done, and it's just, it's a sad thing when we see people choosing these paths. But there are some good things that we'll see in here. But let's begin in Proverbs chapter 2, and let's just take a few minutes here and go through this proverb. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." So when we depart, and if we depart from the Word of God and the ways of God, we're leaving the paths of uprightness and we're heading into darkness. Reading on, verse 14 says, "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." It's very somber to stop and think about the ramifications of turning from the Word of God unto these paths that are in direct contradiction to what would be the paths of God. They're darkness. They lack uprightness. They're evil. They're crooked. And there's frowardness there. And verse 20 says, "That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous." Wisdom helps us. We spoke about that a few minutes ago. Wisdom helps us to stay in the paths of the righteous. There's some lamentable choices that are made by some in turning away from the Word of God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30 in verses 9. We'll read three verses here. And let's see, there's just very descriptive here of a rebellion against God and turning from Him and the paths of God. Beginning in verse 9, says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside, out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. There's a tremendous rebellion taking place here against God. It's an insurrection against authority. And the Word of God is the authority and the principles of the Word of God. They're even telling that it's rooted in rebellion. They will not hear the law of the Lord. It's direct rebellion against God, telling the preachers, preach not to us, prophesy unto us smooth things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 continues this same thing as we see it in Paul's day. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. There's a lot of people that do not want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear the principles of it. They don't want to follow or practice what the Word of God has to say. And they are in direct rebellion against God. And sometimes you'll even hear them where they will come out directly and they will say it very directly. Get you out of the way. Turn aside, out of the path. It's not always that direct, but many times it can be that direct. People like that are dangerous. Sometimes they even know a little Bible, and they're dangerous to themselves and to people they will encounter. So there's an insurrection against authority. There's an inversion of authority. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 3. And this is a picture. There's just some things that are just upside down here, and that's why I call it there's an inversion of authority. Because as we read this and you think about, if you're familiar with, there's things that God has ordained and God has put in place as far as the home, as far as leadership and things like that. And as we read these verses here, it's just upside down. It's not the way it should be. And beginning in verse 12 in Isaiah chapter 3, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. There's an inversion against authority here. Things are upside down, and look at the effect that it has. It destroys the paths of God. Not only is it in direct rebellion against God, but it is attacking the very foundations of creation, the sanctity of marriage, and the God-ordained pattern for the home and principles of leadership that God has. There's a destruction taking place in the paths of God. The way that God would have it to be is under assault. And it catches God's attention. If you begin reading, if you read this whole chapter in Isaiah chapter 3, the first verses just are directly about the decay of leadership in the land. And by the time you get to verse 12, and you see this where it's just completely upside down, and then in verse 13 says, the Lord standeth up to plead. This has God's attention. He's looking down, and he's not talking about heathen people. He's talking about his people. He says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. And then in the middle of the verse, he says, oh, my people. There's passion in that verse and how God, and I believe it's God's feelings. It's upsetting to God that his people are in such a state, and it causes him to stand up to plead. He's standing up. In Isaiah chapter 6, to contrast this, Isaiah sees God high and lifted up, sitting on his throne. But then in this passage here in Isaiah chapter 3, you see some things that are upside down. They're not as they should be in accordance to the Word of God. And it has God's attention because it's his people. It's his, the people that he loves and cares about, that he wants the best for. And so he stands up. If you're a parent, you have your kids, sometimes if you're sitting in your chair and you're doing something, you're paying attention to what's going on. But there's some times where they get some things going, and you'll get up out of your chair to start start addressing it. I believe that's what's happening here, is God stands up to plead, and then he stands up and then standeth to judge the people. There's an inversion of authority, and it's not pleasing to God when things are upside down and out of the way. I believe that if we follow in God's paths, there's some rewards for keeping God's paths. We've seen the longevity of God's paths. There's leadership involved that helps us to follow God's paths. And there's learning involved. There's a process of learning. There's some bad choices. There's some lamentable choices that can be made and have been made by some. But all in all, if we follow God's Word and we stay upon His paths and we follow the examples that are given to us in the Word of God, loyalty's rewards is the last thing that I have. There's blessings to keeping the Word of God. Let's turn back to the Proverbs, and we're gonna stay in the Proverbs as we finish up here. And in Proverbs chapter 2, we're gonna cover a few verses here that bring out some rewards for faithfulness and staying in the Word of God and staying faithful to the Word of God. God rewards us. Chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints." If we're following God, there's a preservation that's going to take place. He preserves us. And I believe that's, I mentioned earlier, there's a protecting hand. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. God is looking out and watching over us and paying attention to what we're doing. In verse 9, I believe there's some blessings. There's our perceptions will increase as we walk in God's Word. He says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Our perceptions of truth and our practice of it will increase as we stay in it, as we seek it, as we pursue it, and as we follow it. There's peace and rest that will come as a result of following God's Word and staying in God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." If we back up to verse 13, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And it's wisdom's ways that are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 3:17, speaking of wisdom, and Jesus is wisdom personified. Wisdom is knowledge applied. As we learn the Word of God and we apply it to our lives, it's peace and rest. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." And then he says this, "And ye shall find rest for your souls." If there's times in your life when you're struggling and there's not an assurance of presence of God, maybe we're out of the way a little bit and we need to get back in the way, get back in the paths of God. That's where we find rest for our souls. There's a presence of God that accompanies walking in God's paths. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." David again says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." The presence of God and the fullness of joy followed right after David was being shown the path of life. If we walk in God's paths, His presence, I believe, will accompany us. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And John 14:23 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." God's presence will accompany us if we walk in His paths, if we stay faithful to walk in His paths. He'll accompany us, and he'll manifest Himself to us, and He will make His abode with us. God's paths are a rut. His principles are true yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ bears witness of the principles of God's Word, and they'll be with us from now unto eternity. And if we stay faithful to them, we will be rewarded for that faithfulness. Brother Joe.